What's going on, Fox Sports? My name is Jared Eastman. Welcome back to the Stay Connected podcast. We have so much to talk about today. I am heartbroken and crushed by the defeat of CLG in that round one upper bracket, but we will be talking about it all coming up right here on Fox Sports. All right, so League of Legends, as you know from the last episode, if you watched it. If you didn't, check it out on our website, foxsportsradionewjersey.com, under podcasts to get all the episodes of your favorite Central Jersey esports podcast. So, what happened? CLG lost to Cloud9. I am heartbroken. If you know, my prediction was completely wrong. Actually, I can't say that. It was a very close game. That final game, if you watch back on the FODs, Game 5, it could have gone either way, but we'll talk about some of the mistakes and some of the good things that CLG and Cloud9 did in their respective games. So let's start off with Game 1. We had some risky plays from CLG because we had an early flash from their support, I believe, in Game 1. It was Pumi. Renata Glask, early flash, trying to get that first blood kill. I get it. I can understand it. I've done it constantly. Friends have done it. It's happened to me. People flash on you in that early to try and get that engage, to try and get that first blood. So I can't honestly blame Pumi because it was a good try, just missed the landing. They couldn't pull it off. It was a rough game for CLG's bot lane. Luger and Pumi, they both went pretty negative as far as kills-wise. Luger, I think he was up on CS that game, it looks like. So, it was just I'd say it was a bad matchup. And you know why it was a bad matchup? Because C9 had a double AD carry bot lane. They had Kalista and Ashe. What does that mean? So instead of a normal orthodox support like Renata Glask or Nautilus or even Amumu, as we see in the later games, what you do is you basically run 280 carries in the bot lane. What that does is you have a lot more poke potential, you have a lot more damage potential depending on your combo. Kalista and Ashe, that's a brutal combo because all those auto attacks that are just hammering down on you, especially for a support that isn't as tanky like Renata Glask and an AD carry who isn't that mobile like Sivir. Yeah, Sivir can go fast, but she can't really do much in terms of dodging every single ability that's coming out at you. She has her bubble or her spell shield, which does protect her to some degree, but that's only for certain things, so it's not going to help in this situation, which is why they got creamed. Now, what are the benefits of running double AD carry bot lane? As you see, yes, first blood goes to CLG, but that's only because Kalista, played by Cloud9's player Berserker, got too close to the tower, so Renata Glask was able to pull him back in after he had auto attack, so the tower, number one, hit him, and then they were just able to clean it up, because Sivir does do quite a bit of damage. It's true. Sivir is one of my favorite AD carries just because of her damage output, but what happened there was Ashe was able to get the kill on Luger, and then tower dived Pumi, because the double AD carry bot lane, you can still do damage. Pumi was low. Double kill for Sven, who played Ashe. So now you have a situation where, yeah, your support has kills. Usually, that's not a good thing. In a lane like this, it can go either way, which is why you saw when Ashe back, they had a tier and a longsword. They weren't going orthodox support items. No, they were going some hardcore damage items that was going to be able to help them later game. And that's pretty much why C9 was able to get the kill advantage and eventually win that game. It was a very rough game for them. They had Dragon majority. They went 1-for-1 on Barons. Overall gold, you saw like a 10-12k difference. So there's a reason that game ended with 22 kills to 5. So let's move on to the second game, because this is where we actually saw CLG get a little more pep in their step. So we were able to see, number one, Luger and Pumi complete 180 it with their Zeri Lulu bot lane. I mean, this was a combo that was just brutal, but also Contracts and Dokla was able to really tank as they should. So was Palafox. Palafox as Sylas. Sylas is one of those people that if he gets into the neck and woods of it, he's able to do some amazing things. So complete 180 there. Amumu support, as I said earlier, normally, if this was a few seasons ago, if you picked Amumu support, you were probably going to get reported for inting because he was not a support champion. He didn't have the capacity because his old Q, for those who remember, it was only a one-time thing and it had a very long cooldown, as well as the amount of mana that he uses through his cry ability. So it's very rough for that in the support lane. But now, because of recent patches, number one, his Q is now a CC machine to where you have two uses of it before it goes on full cooldown. And the timer in between how much you can use it is only a couple seconds. So his support potential, it's a reason he is one of the top supports played. This was just a bad game for the bot lane and all. Berserker again played. This time, Berserker was the one playing Sivir. But Zeri, Lulu, they're just able to outmaneuver you and keep you alive. Especially Lulu. The damage you can do off of Lulu is surprising, but it is there. We also saw some amazing jungle pressure this game from one again Contracts playing Trundle and Blabber playing Vi. These were a tough matchup for Vi, I think, because Trundle is just one of those champions. It's a reason he's number one or high up there on the list for junglers this patch, is because he's just able to bonk you, basically. He takes his big hammer, bonks you, doesn't care what damage you're doing to him, especially with his ultimate. So it was amazing picks by CLG, because that's what did it. Because for this game, Zeri is the target. If you don't snipe Zeri early on in the fight, you're gonna regret it. And you could see that in one of the fights that eventually led to the end of the game, is Vi went in way too early. She got sniped, so there was no one really able to get onto Luger. So that's why he was able to carry pretty much even 1v5. Maybe not a 1v5. But let's go on to the stats of that game. It was actually pretty close in Dragons, 3-for-3. You gotta give it to them. But CLG, all three Barons. Wow. That just shows that this game was really theirs to win. So let's move on. Game 3. Once again, I believe Game 3 went to CLG. Yes. No, CLG actually, it went to Cloud9. Sorry, my mistake. So this was a, no, wait, yeah, what am I talking about? I think this was to, I don't even remember who won Game 3, to be honest with you. It's all such a blur, but Game 3, it was a very close game. I believe this is the one thing I do remember. This was one of the closest games there. So, oh yeah, it was a CLG win, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it was a CLG win. Yeah, or a Cloud9 win, sorry. I had to get that out. It would have bothered the heck out of me if I didn't figure out who won that game. So, this game, I feel like, was definitely one of the more closer ones. Obviously, Cloud9 had gold advantage, 61 to 55k. They had kill advantage, they had tower advantage. So, and they had Baron advantage, so this was kind of just their game. What went wrong in this matchup? I'd say the Sven's Nautilus did a lot of work locking down, number one, Zeri, who Luger played again. But it was also that Nocturne. Nocturne by Blabber was crucial for this fight, because he could just see you for a second, lock in, and he even stole Dragon. So this was the monumentally important victory for them. What could have turned it around for CLG? There was a single dragon that I think would have definitely pushed them in the right direction that C9 was able to steal with the Nocturnal. And that was a Mountain Dragon. That was the only armor dragon in that game, and it went to somebody with a Nautilus on their team. It's not what you want to see. You would have loved to have that for your Sejuani or your Trundle. So that's kind of what happened in Game 3. It was a shame because that was kind of a upsetting loss for CLG, but they were able to come back in Game 4. So let's move on to that. So Game 4, what kind of stats are we looking at? Game 4, we have 61 gold advantage by CLG to 49. Kills. Game 1 was absolutely dominated by Cloud9, Game 4 was absolutely swept by CLG. 21 kills to 5, 10 towers, 1 Baron, 2 Dragons. It was an early finish for that game. And here's the thing. Zeri, once again played by Luger, absolutely crushed it. Another one where they were not able to lock down Luger. And it obviously showed by the amount of kills. And, I mean, him and Pumi, they went unkillable. They ended the game with zero deaths. So, good on them for that game. It was rough one for Berserker and Sven. They tried a different double AD carry bot lane. Sven going Ashe, because Sven's played AD carry before. He knows how to play AD carry. So, he knows exactly what to do. But this was just a rough matchup for them because they couldn't lock. They couldn't lock Zeri down. It was honestly the reason why you had the early kill advantage going towards CLG. But you did have a pause. Now, I want to talk about that. Because this has come up in previous episodes. If you check out our player's commentary back on our website at foxsportsradionewjersey.com, the player's episode, there was a pause. There was a pause in game, just like this game, and we talked about some of the implications, but I really want to talk about how frustrating it must be to be on a roll, and then the game gets paused. However, this was a pause actually by CLG, who was by all far ahead, so they really didn't need it. But I understand the issue. I think it was a visual bug issue for Pumi, but I'm not entirely sure which player it was for. They restarted the client. It happens, but those couple of minutes, it psychs you out. As you see in players, as you see in professional League of Legends, you have to not let it get to you. Sometimes people crack under pressure. So let's move on to Game 5, the game that decides it all. This is where I was really hoping that CLG would pull ahead and absolutely crush it. But honestly, it was Cloud9's total victory. I mean, it was just a rough, rough game. One mistake that I think caused the complete downfall, and it did, because even after this, it was a completely even game. I feel like, I mean, looking at the gold, it was only 64k to 69k with C9 in the lead. Kills were pretty even too. It was 9 to 12, towers 6 to 9, inhibitors 1 to 1, Baron 1 to 1. The only thing C9 had a real advantage on in that game besides the gold was the dragons. They had 3 dragons to CLG's 1 dragon. What honestly killed it was that Baron, that last Baron fight, because CLG was already low, or they didn't have full health. Cloud9 was just waiting for the execution to get in there, jump in there. I mean, I have to give it to Jensen. He played LeBlanc. He played it absolutely beautifully. Just absolutely crushed it in terms of maneuvering, because this combo, I wouldn't even say it was their most aggressive combo that they had, but they were able to make it work. Blabber played Viego. Viego is a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous jungle, especially for people like Zeri, because he can stay on you, get to you, stun you, all pretty well, and have the damage to do it. So Jensen, Sejuani, Lulu, and Berserker playing Sivir. Sivir rushing. Oh, see, that's the even more dangerous thing. See, Sivir might have her weaknesses, but her ultimate, if you're looking to run an enemy team down, there's no better AD carry to have than Sivir. Just that movement speed and attack speed buff that she gives you, everything she gives you helps, and it absolutely crushed CLG. They weren't able to do it. But the Baron play, I don't know what they were thinking. I don't know what the callouts were. They should have just backed up a little bit because they took some extra damage that they didn't need. They had Baron shooting at them, and overall, that's what you see. That's how the cookie crumbled. But they're not out of the tournament yet. At least I don't hope. I haven't looked at the actual scores, but if we look at our little roadmap for the NA season, what's going on? We have our upper bracket round 2 match still to come between Evil Geniuses and Cloud9. I think, now the last time I made a prediction, it was completely wrong. I think EG is going to pull out ahead of Cloud9. That game is actually today at 4 p.m. I'm going to be watching that game, praying that my prediction is right, because I don't want to see Cloud9 win. I'm sorry. I just don't. I don't want to see Evil Geniuses win either, because they're a really popular team. I want to see CLG come back. They faced off against Golden Guardians, which I'm pretty sure they won. So the next game they would have would be against whoever lost in the round 2s. Versus Cloud9 or Liquid Thieves, 100 Thieves versus Team Liquid. So that's who I'm pretty sure they're going to go against. Worst case scenario, they go against C9 again, they lose again. Though I'm not sure if that would be in their bracket. I'm pretty sure they're either going to go up against 100 Thieves or Team Liquid. That game I'm pretty sure already happened. It happened yesterday. So we'll have to see where things go from there. Now moving on to some other regions. Another game that happened this morning that I'm going to be talking about next episode, because it was an amazing game, was the Gen G versus T1. These are the two best teams arguably in the world. Arguably in the world, because they're both teams from the LCK, which is the Korean division of League of Legends. At one point, both of these teams are at the very top, always competing with each other, along with some other teams. There's some EU teams that are amazing, but there are some China teams that are amazing. But T1 has Faker, so he's always a fan favorite to see in the division. I'm excited for it, honestly. So let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to be talking about some TFT news we have surrounding around the TFT World Champion Series that I'm excited for. I also have some good news. So stick around. It's Fox Sports 93.5. My name is Jared Eastman. If you want to check out all the other episodes of the Stay Connected podcast, check out our website, foxsportsradionewjersey.com. I'll be right back with some more information for TFT right here on Fox Sports. All right, welcome back to 93.5 Fox Sports New Jersey. We are excited to announce that I am finally plat. I have reached plat in TFT. Me and my buddy Nico, we've been absolutely killing it. The next road is to diamond, because if we make it to diamond, that'd be pretty sick. But of course, this is in double up. I'm still trying to get into solo queue platinum rank. It's been a harsh struggle. There's some new comps out that I want to try, some that I've been really lucky with. I think my favorite this build is Assassin Olaf. I've had some bad games with it, but recently I've been absolutely crushing it, to where I've gone to composition 3 times in a row, and every time first place, baby. So I'm going to try to do some solo queuing, maybe get some ranks up, hopefully. I'm so close. I think I'm at gold 1, 40 LP, if I remember correctly. But let's move on to our main topic. The TFT World Champion Series. What's going on with that? All right, so we got some major news from Riot that the World Champion for Dragonlands will be held from November 18th to the 20th, bringing the 32 best players from 8 TFT regions all to be played on a tournament realm. So what's going on is the prize pool has gone up last season during the Gizmos and Gadgets season of TFT. The prize pool went from 250k to 300k. Now it's gone up again from 300k to 456 grand, meaning the first place winner is going to win 150 grand. That's insane. It makes me honestly pretty happy because TFT is a wonderful game in my opinion. So to see it growing like this and as fast as it is, because you got to think about it. League of Legends has been around since early 2010s. TFT's only been around for a couple seasons. Maybe a year or two at most. So it's pretty exciting, honestly, to see this. So how is the format work? So basically, the players are going to be split into 8 groups and play 5 rounds each. Groups will then be shuffled after the first 2 games. So this is all 32 players advancing from day 1 to day 2. Day 2 is where players start to get eliminated, and they're going quick because the players are going to maintain their points from day 1. Day 2, they split into groups of 8 and play 5 rounds each, and then once again the groups will be shuffled after the first 2 games. Only 8 of the 32 players are going from day 2 to day 3. Day 3 is the final day. Top 8 players play in a checkmate format. The first player to earn 18 points and then get first place in a round, they will be the official TFT Dragonlands champion. I am so excited to see that. We had some qualifiers. We've had some other regions already doing their stuff. But, whew, it's exciting. Do we have anything coming up for NA? Let's see. Yeah, we had our Jade Cup happen earlier this month. We had our mid-set finale just at the last Sunday. Last Sunday was the end of the mid-set finale. Now, we have our Dragon Cup. That is the next thing happening. It is September 24th to 25th. And October 1st to the 2nd. So keep your calendars open for that. And then we have a couple other things. I think there's the NA LCQ. That's October 8th and October 9th, which is my birthday. So hopefully some good luck happens on that day. And then finally, the regional finals. That's at the end of October. October 21st to the 22nd. It's going to be crazy. We have a lot coming up with TFT. So expect those episodes to come out soon. But for right now, I want to thank everyone for joining me on this special episode. It's really coming down to the wire with some of these teams. They really need to make a final push. As I said, we have some exciting games coming up for official League of Legends. The Evil Geniuses versus Cloud9 is today, 4 p.m. Then on Thursday, we have another round, 4 p.m., coming up. That's to be everything from here is to be decided, so I'm excited to see it. But we also have, if we look at our, after this, we're basically in semifinals for the upper bracket. Then we have our lower bracket rounds. So that's all going to be pretty exciting as we move closer and closer and closer to the finals. Whatever team wins between Evil Geniuses and Cloud9 is either going to have to face 100 Thieves or Team Liquid. Honestly, unless 100 Thieves wins, 100 Thieves, I think 100 Thieves beat, I'm pretty sure 100 Thieves beat Liquid Honda. So if Evil Geniuses goes against 100 Thieves, I think EG takes it. if C9 goes against 100 Thieves, I think 100 Thieves. That's the way I'd call it. So then those teams would move on to the lower brackets because we still have lower bracket round two to go through. Then we have the round three. Then we have the semifinals. So honestly, it's gonna be one hell of a couple weeks. But thank you for joining me here on Fox Sports. As always, my name is Jared Eastman. If you want to check me out on our website at foxsportsradionewjersey.com for all the episodes of the Stay Connected Esports Podcast, they're all up there for you to enjoy at your leisure. If you want to listen to me live, hey, we're always here Sunday, 10:30 to 11. It's an awesome day for esports in general. And as always, I'll see you next Sunday. Peace out. We're going to be talking about some more League of Legends esports as well as some other news topics as they appear right here on Fox Sports.